Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hello.
I just want to set the record straight.
Oh.
I did not breastfeed my cat on a Delta Airlines flight.
Someone said that to me too.
They accused you?
Yeah.
They're like,
wow, you're in the news or something like that.
I got sent, my friend Bethany actually texted me that this morning. She's like,
really?
This you?
Yeah. No, someone tweeted that at me.
But several of our listeners either at replied me or emailed us at hollywoodcrimescene@gmail.com.
I saw that subject line, breastfeeding cat.
And I was like, Rachel, is this you? No, it is not me.
Yeah.
I do not breastfeed my hairless cat.
Mm-mm.
We are innocent of
We're not producing milk.
We are not. I do not produce milk. My cat eats solid foods.
Yeah.
But I will read the article. This is from Newsweek. This was like, I guess this happened a couple days ago. It says, woman allegedly breastfeeds cat on Delta Airlines flight. A woman on a recent Delta Airlines flight allegedly began to breastfeed her pet cat mid-flight and refused to stop getting caught. The incident allegedly happened during a recent trip on board Delta Flight 1360, a route that travels between Syracuse, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. An image posted to social media suggests that the purported cat breastfeeding happened while the plane was headed towards Atlanta, although it is not clear exactly when the incident happened. The image circulating online describes the supposed event in what appears to be a screen capture of a message sent using the aircraft's communication, addressing, and reporting system, which pilots use to transfer short-term text-based messages to the ground. So this was like a screenshot of...
The woman?
Of a text message sent.
Oh, okay.
And it's this reporting system that is between... pilots and aircrafts. So it's not an actual image, but the screenshot of the message reports that a passenger in 13A is, quote, is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in carrier. In response to a request from a flight attendant, the message asks that the situation be addressed by the airline's red coat team upon landing. Delta describes members of the team as an elite customer service experts who are specially trained to handle on-the-stop customer issues. Beyond the purported ACARS message, which Newsweek has not independently verified, little other information about the supposed incident was available as of Friday. However, a TikTok account from flight attendant Ainsley Elizabeth appears to refer to the incident with a video posted on November 2nd claiming that, quote, security met the flight because a woman was breastfeeding her cat. This woman had one of those like hairless cats swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby, Ainsley Elizabeth said in a follow-up video posted November 13th. Her shirt was up and she was trying to get the cat to latch so she wouldn't put the cat back in the character, and the cat was screaming for its life. What does she do at home if she's doing that in public? She asked. And then security met the flight just to tell her that she couldn't do that again because it was weird and gross. Newsweek reached out to Delta Airlines for comment. Honestly, I don't even know if this story is true. This sounds like a game of telephone happening.
Yeah.
Like,
also, I find it highly unlikely that the cat would breastfeed.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not something cats do.
I've bottle fed babies. I've done it before. It's really hard to get them to do that.
Yeah.
I just don't think that nipple would be a conducive, like a cat would not want that nipple, like a human nipple. It's too big.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Right.
As a professional cat milker, mommy milker.
Yeah. I mean, look, we don't have video of this. It's like no one took a video on the flight.
I like how they kept saying allegedly.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what is she going to, we got to make sure we don't smear this woman. Like,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think it sounds like it might not be true.
It sounds like a prank or something that like, and who is this person that got the text message? Like,
yeah, that whole system. It's like, what is that system? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm calling bullshit on this story, but I would like to thank everyone who sent this to me.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was hairless.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes more sense. I think the person who sent it to me just saw the headline.
Okay. Another story that a listener sent us because she said that this sounds like a story you guys would do. Thank you very much. This is from the New York Post. The headline reads, "Bride passes out, vomits, and gets pooped on during disaster wedding."
Wow.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's like all, it's like the trifecta.
It's the trifecta of bodily fluids. This bride went from blushing to barfing in a matter of seconds. Wife Holly Linnea Colenda Darnell unintentionally put her grooms in sickness and in health loyalty to the test when she passed out, puked, and got pooped on during their wedding ceremony.
Who pooped on her?
A baby.
Oh, okay.
That's not as crazy as like an adult pooping on her.
I still need to know how though.
I watched, there's a video of it. It's like a TikTok video.
Okay.
She says, "I kept trying to tell my husband I didn't feel good and he thought I was joking." Darnell, 23, captioned a trending TikTok of her mid-marriage medical mishap. In the chaotic clip, which has caught the eye-popping attention of over 3.7 million viewers, a visibly wobbly Darnell is seen gripping her groom Jackson's hand, signaling to him that she'd suddenly fallen ill just as their pastor began officiating their holy matrimony under an outdoor gazebo in Florida. Then she fell limp into her hubby's arms. "Are you okay?" Jackson asked after he and the pastor caught Darnell's fall and began fanning her face. She shook her head, "No," then stumbled over to the railing of the gazebo where she began heaving. Someone filmed that too. Like you can see her go over there.
Who's
and start
filming this? What a monster.
Seriously. And although the camera ultimately panned away from the barfing bride, notes of what sound like her puking can be heard while wedding guests and the officiant awkwardly talk among themselves, blaming the humidity for Darnell's sudden sickness. But in a subsequent video of her tying the knot catastrophe clip, she explained, "I was super dehydrated and hadn't drank or ate anything all day." Darnell went on to reveal that she's prone to passing out, blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately for Darnell, that wasn't the only incident involving a bodily fluid on her wedding day. "After I passed out, my sister had a fan on my baby nephew, so she came over to me and put the fan on me. And as she was holding my nephew, he starts pooping," she said. "And the poop goes down her arm and onto my dress."
So that's diarrhea.
This is a mess. This is awful. I mean, I'm glad she's okay. I can't watch. I watched the video. I really can't.
I can't watch people throwing up.
I can't watch people faint.
Oh, yeah. That's bad. I can't do the throwing.
I can't.
Yet.
That makes me nauseous. Gag. Yeah.
So that's gross.
Yeah. At least it wasn't like an adult that pooped on her, I think.
I know. See, when I originally heard this headline, I was like, she's drunk. And then some other drunk person shit on her. Like it was way worse and right. More like drunken in my head.
This is a story that will devastate you, Desi. This is from today.com. Supply chain crisis now threatening chicken tenders.
Oh my God.
Watch out. I know that's like one of your favorite foods.
Well, I don't even know what that means. Is there a single source for tenders?
This is from today.com from Scott Stump. It says, "It's enough to strike terror into the hearts of all parents whose children can't get enough of this dinner time favorite," and Desi.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders are the latest item affected by supply chain issues during the pandemic, which experts say mean higher prices for them at the grocery store and restaurants. The Tasty Kids staple joins items like maple syrup, wine and spirits, takeout containers, and coffee cups among the many products that have been made more scarce or more expensive by pandemic-related supply chain issues. I'm glad they keep reiterating that this is a kid's food.
It's kind of insulting, frankly.
I agree.
A lot of adults love chicken tenders.
I agree. I love chicken tenders.
I mean,
I think they should be on the menu at more
restaurants.
I'm
very curious what kind of tenders they are. Maybe there's one person who supplies all the frozen tender people.
Yeah.
You know?
It says, for parents like Molly Edmonds of Scottsdale, Arizona, removing chicken tenders from the family menu could mean a lot of frowning faces at the dinner table.
Yeah. I mean, look. We're all suffering.
We're all
Molly.
My kids, hold on. It says, this stupid article. My kids eat hamburgers, French fries. I have to wrestle them to eat vegetables, Edmonds told NBC News correspondent Carrie Sanders on Today, Thursday. When I come home from the store and I don't have any chicken tenders, my kids are not happy.
Her kids need to get a grip.
Edmonds has had to work a little harder to find her kids' favorite food lately. The shelves have been empty recently. Restaurants have been out of chicken tenders, and that makes it very difficult when you have kids that have limited options, she said. And then it describes what chicken tenders are in the article.
Wait, wouldn't this be... See, I have zero sympathy for Molly, but if it was an adult saying the exact same things... I would laugh my ass off and be like, that's right, Fred. I go to the restaurant. What am I supposed to do? For some reason, that would be way more funny to me.
The price of a value pack of chicken tenders has gone up nearly $1 per pound since the same time last year, from $3.02 to $3.99 on average, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Major chains like Kentucky Fried Chicken and A&W have changed their marketing plans to omit tenders from promotions in order to avoid selling out of them. The iconic chain Hattie B's Hot Chicken, based in Nashville, Tennessee, is also dealing with the chicken tender issue.
Whoa, okay, so this is getting serious.
This is serious.
What if Dave's?
Oh, God. There is no safe harbor in the supply chain right now, Brian Morris, Hattie B's Culinary Learning and Development Vice President, told Sanders on Today. We see it across the board, but certainly you feel the pain the most in tenders.
So this must be the source. Where the chicken tenders are coming from before they're even battered. It's like the meat probably is what this, because then it goes to all different restaurants and frozen food. So it's like that must be where the problem is. Here's another interesting thing I heard, that this fog we've been having is related to ships at Long Beach Harbor, like idling.
Really?
And it's dirt is sticking to the marine layer.
No way.
And that's why it's so bad. Because I have been very stuffy and like my throat is kind of irritated.
Me too.
And I just was tested for COVID because I was around people. So I know that that's not, you know what I mean? Like, and everyone's kind of dealing with it. Like I'm so congested.
Me
and
too.
Like, it's like the air is shitty. And I've seen other people talking about it. So that's what the problem is. That's what's happening in LA right now.
I mean, it makes me feel a little better that I'm not dying of some mysterious illness.
Yeah.
Because I have been feeling just like so fucking congested.
No, it's been so bad and that's what it is. Because I was fine when I was up north and now back here, it's like,
Yeah, I was really like feeling sick last week. Fortunately, I don't feel that bad today.
Yeah. No, it's not bad, but you know how it is when you're constantly congested. It's also stressful because if you go out, you're like, I promise I'm fine.
Right.
You know.
This is from BBC. It's out of Austria. It says, doctor fined for amputating wrong leg of patient.
Fined?
This is my nightmare.
That's why people like draw this leg. Like, wouldn't you like triple check?
Yeah. If you're going to do an amputation surgery, you better triple check that shit, right?
I mean, I think so.
Any kind of serious surgery, I would think that they're like, this is the patient.
Look, all you got to do is do the right leg. That's the top priority in amputation.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh. Oh, the wrong leg. Okay, when I read this headline, I thought it was like they amputated the leg of the wrong patient.
Jesus Christ. Well, that's bad too.
That's really bad.
Like they didn't even need an amputation.
Yeah, and that's what I thought when I read this headline.
Oh my God.
Okay, so.
But this is still bad.
This is still bad. It's just a different bad. A surgeon in Austria has been fined after amputating the wrong leg of a patient earlier this year. Yeah, this is bad because then it's like, well, we still have to amputate the other one.
Now you got no legs.
Now you got no legs. The elderly patient's right leg was removed instead of his left, with the mistake only discovered 2 days later. This is horrible. On Wednesday, the court found the 43-year-old guilty of gross negligence and fined her 2,700 euros. The widow of the patient who died before the case came to court was also awarded 5,000 euros in damages. That seems low.
So he's dead.
He died, yes.
But not related to the surgery.
Not related. The patient attended the clinic in Freistad last May to have his leg amputated, but the surgeon marked the wrong limb for amputation.
Okay. Well, at least he only had a few more months.
Jesus, does he?
I'm just trying to find the silver lining.
The mistake was identified during a routine bandage change, and the patient was told that he would have to have his other leg amputated as well. At the time, the hospital said the incident had occurred, quote, as a result of a sequence of unfortunate circumstances. Its director made a public apology at a news conference. In court, the surgeon said that there had been a flaw in the chain of command in the operating theater. When asked why she had marked the right leg and not the left, she said, "I just don't know."
She made a mistake. Yeah. But it sucks.
You gotta pay the price. So it says cases like this are rare, but there have been similar incidents in the past. In 1995, a doctor in the U.S. discovered halfway through surgery that he was amputating the wrong leg of a diabetic patient. He was forced to continue after cutting through muscles, tendons, and ligaments.
Oh my God.
That's horrible.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, that's not a feel-good story to end our news stories on.
No.
But we do have okay, this is kind of funny. This is from this past week. This is from the New York Times. A snowstorm leaves dozens stranded for days in a remote UK pub. I guess it's not that funny.
No, but this is the Oasis cover band story. Yes.
A crowd had gathered on Friday night to listen to Noasis, an Oasis tribute band. On Monday, most of them were finally able to go home. Up on a hill in Yorkshire, England, a crowd filled a pub on Friday to listen to an Oasis tribute band. Inside the pub, the Tan Hill Inn, the beers were cold, the fires were warming, and the musicians were electric. But outside, the winds were howling and the snow was swirling. The pub patients knew the forecast was dire, but not so much that piles of snow as high as 3 feet would block the pub's exits, and said Nicola Townsend, the inn's general manager. After the tribute band, Noasis, finished its set, the local authorities said it was not safe to drive home, Miss Townsend said on Sunday night. So the patrons, the band members, and several inn employees stayed the night, and then another. And then on Sunday night, they stayed another.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, that's awkward. I just imagine it being awkward because like you're stuck there and you have to talk to the band and be like, "You guys did a really good job.
Yeah.
That was fun.
One more Wonderwall."
Like did the band play more to entertain them?
I mean, there's something about it that's so, imagine like getting stuck there to go see an Oasis cover band. First of all, like honestly, I only know a few of their songs, so if I went, it would be for like a joke. And then I'd be stuck there. I'd be so mad.
Yeah. I feel like you have to be a real super fan because like Oasis had some hits, but they didn't have that many hits.
I only know their hits. And as far as I know, there's like three or four maybe.
There's like four.
Yeah. That's all I know. Yeah. So to go see I could go see a Led Zeppelin cover band.
Yeah.
Cause there's a ton of songs I would know for that.
Right.
But yeah, don't come at me. If you are an Oasis super fan.
and you know what? It would be one thing to be trapped inside with actual Oasis.
Well, I was thinking that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Because then you'd have the brothers fighting.
Right.
It would be wild, probably. They'd be really drunk. Like,
or any famous band. It would be like such an interesting, yeah. It would be such a crazy story to have. But it's like, you'd be bored after a while.
Also, I don't really like the name Noasis.
Cover band,
I don't like it.
Cover bands, like tribute bands, I should say, tribute bands generally have really bad names.
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there have been a few that I thought were clever, where it was like not a pun on the name,
right?
But something related to the band that's very iconically related.
But when they're like puns, kind of.
Oh yeah, those are always bad.
They're all really bad.
You're not going to get me to laugh at a pun. It's going to be hard. Maybe I will.
Right.
But in general, I don't like them.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad everyone's okay.
Everyone's fine. It looks like they set up like a whole, like beds in there, like sleeping bags. Yeah,
they're an inn. So they had stuff.
Yeah. Noasis have left the building, the band said on Facebook. Thanks to everyone for your messages of support. Thanks to everyone for the camaraderie within the venue. Look, maybe they made some lifelong friends.
I think they made some lifelong friends, and this is probably the best publicity this band has ever received, right? Because everyone knows them now.
To pass the time, they took pub quizzes, watched movies like Grease and Mamma Mia, and sang karaoke, she said on Sunday. Lots of Oasis at the moment. She said, adding that the pub goers have started calling the tribute band Snowasis.
That's better.
I think they need to be Snowasis.
Yeah.
Because now forever they're known as the band who got stranded absolutely. At this inn. Okay. Well, glad everyone's fine and had a very interesting weekend.
Okay.
That's all our news stories from this past week. We do have a listener email that was interesting. We talked on our Patreon about bad Thanksgiving stories.
Oh yeah.
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Heather. She wrote in, she said, listening to your Thanksgiving episode, I am reminded. Oh wait, that wasn't on Patreon. That was a mini episode.
Yeah, that was a mini.
Okay. So that was a main like feed episode. All right. So she said, listening to your Thanksgiving episode, I am reminded of a dysfunctional holiday dinner from about 13-ish years ago. First, you need to understand my family is hillbilly trash, like the Wild and Wonderful Whites without pills. They're this trashy, soberish. At this point, I don't associate with my dad's family due to their social views. I grew up with so much craziness that it sort of became funny into adulthood. My dad and his ex-wife were like peas in a pod, both loud, obnoxious, who fought incessantly, especially at family events. Thanksgiving 2009 was one of the last holidays they spent together as a couple. Apparently, they'd been fighting for most of the morning while preparing food. My dad is a trucker. He was convinced my stepmom was cheating on him since she'd gotten a boob job.
Whoa.
So the fight centered around this accusation. My dad phoned asking me to arrive earlier than the invitation time to assist him with food since Kim, the wife, was, quote, being a sour whore. When I arrive, there's a chair in the driveway which has been slightly burned.
This is so my family. I'm sick.
I find lighter fluid next to it. Confused, I enter the house and ask why the charred, still smoking chair is outside. My dad explained that his wife got angry, dragged her chair outside, and tried lighting it on fire without great success. As I mentioned, only the seat was really burned, but mostly was still intact. Why would she destroy her chair to prove a point? Only Jerry Springer knows. While my dad is loudly shouting about his wife's chair burning, he's taking casseroles, etc., from the oven and placing them on the counter. The turkey is resting atop the oven. Guests will arrive within the hour, so I'm trying to help with the place settings. At some point, his wife comes out of the bedroom where she's been hiding and starts yelling at my dad. They're arguing. I'm awkwardly trying to put the finishing touches on dinner. I had opened the sliding glass door in the kitchen because it was hot with all the food prep. All of a sudden, Kim runs into the kitchen, snatches the turkey pan. The next thing I know, she is on the back deck throwing the turkey into the yard. Bye, turkey dinner. Obviously, this sends my dad through the roof. Kim grabs her car keys and leaves, just as the relatives are arriving for Thanksgiving. Frantic, my dad heads out to find an open store. In the meantime, everyone is showing up and asking what has transpired. Where's Kim? Why is there a burnt chair in the driveway? What happened to the turkey?
Oh my God.
My dad returns sometime later with one of those crappy canned hams, the only thing available on short notice for our dinner.
Oh my God.
Dinner ends up being hours late. My grandpa keeps complaining about not having turkey for dinner. My brother and I walk out onto the back deck hoping to escape the chaos to find the neighborhood dogs eating the turkey. We point out this because it's funny as fuck. The entire family all make their way outside while we watch two hound dogs devour a whole turkey now covered in grass. Look, I'm sure it was very traumatic at the time, but that is a funny story.
Very funny. I'm glad the dogs got to enjoy the turkey.
I'm sorry about your family.
I still want to know what the fucking chair thing was.
I think she was just so angry that just, you know, when you're blinded with rage, I think that just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh, you don't want me here? Well, I'm going to go burn my chair.
I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine is that she was blinded with rage.
Yeah, she's blind with rage. He said something along the lines, well, why don't you leave?
And she's like,
you don't want me at this table? Then I'll burn my chair. Like, I'm just trying to think of her leap of logic.
It's not a rational thought process for sure.
But those things always have a genesis of something that makes sense, even if it's just a slight connection. Oh. That's very funny and very relatable for me. This kind of chaos where you can't even really explain it and you don't ask questions.
Right.
And people are like, what, why did she do this? It's like, I don't even know.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it makes sense.
She burnt the chair.
Yeah.
We have another email from H. From Holly. This is from Holly. Okay. She says, she's talking about Thanksgiving. She says, I'm listening to Thanksgiving. I had to stop at the lasagna to write to you. My family isn't Italian. I grew up with a mom who liked to pit us family members against one another. She was a total mindfuck with a very clever lady. Thanksgiving was her least favorite holiday because she didn't like turkey or family gatherings. In fact, she's...
I feel like it's the family gathering part, probably.
Yeah. In fact, she didn't care for food generally on account of the calories. She was always reducing like a good lady should. In a controversial move, it was the 80s, she decided to order frozen lasagna, garlic bread, and salad with Italian dressing from a local Italian restaurant to be heated up and served up to the guests on Thanksgiving Day. The nerve of this woman. My great-grandmother and my mom's secret arch-nemesis was totally offended. Fortunately, a rival faction of the family was hosting a traditional Thanksgiving dinner to be eaten at the proper dinner hour of 6 p.m., so my great-grandmother was spared the trauma of eating ethnic food for that all-American holiday. The lasagna kept my great-grandmother away on the most sacred day, of thanks and gratitude, a tradition was born. By my teens, I was making the Thanksgiving lasagna. I'd do a traditional with meat gravy and a vegetarian spinach with five cheeses. It was the 90s and Asiago was definitely involved. Okay, I laughed out loud when she wrote
Asiago.
Dude.
Do you remember when they were on bagel?
Yes.
It was everywhere.
Asiago was the go-to cheese of the 90s.
It still exists.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real cheese.
Yeah. I know when I see it though, it's so 90s. But I don't know why did it become popular?
It was like it's like Parmesan, but it's different.
Yeah, I could hardly tell the difference.
And it's on a pizza bagel.
Yeah. Look, I liked those Asiago bagels with all the crunchy cheese on
I did too. I did too. I meant to write a week ago when I was listening to an after show episode. And Rachel mentioned not having a podcast to listen to. I have a podcast called Cover Your Eyes with my my childhood friend Sarah, and I definitely feel inspired by y'all. So I hope you enjoy our show even half as much as I enjoy yours. The show sounds good. It says they rewatch all the inappropriate movies our parents let us watch as kids.
Ooh, what's it called? Cover Your Eyes?
Cover Your Eyes.
Okay.
I'll check it out.
Let's check it out. And you guys should check it out too.
She also sent us pictures of her cat, Petra, who is adorable. A very floofy girl.
She's so floofy. She's
snuggle.
Like, pet my belly.
Yeah, she's all sprawled out. Anyway, thank you so much, Holly. I'll check out the pod. That's all my listener emails.
Well, we also have a birthday. Should we get that out now?
Let's do it.
Okay. So we got this email a while ago, but her birthday wasn't until this week. So yeah, we held it off. So this is from GT. She said, "Hey ladies, my mom, Bren, and I are big fans of your podcast. I stumbled across your Action Park episode a while back and have been listening to your backlog. My mom is a huge fan of horror movies and we're both up for some trash TV. So I knew your podcast would be right up her alley and I wasn't wrong. Bren turns 50 on December 2nd. That was yesterday. And I wondered if you could give her a birthday shout out. She'll be somewhere in South America on her dream trip at the time. So I'm hoping she'll be listening to your show on one of her flights and get a nice surprise. I've also attached pictures of our cat, Bubba, because I know you love cat photos. They brought him from Australia when they moved to Germany for her mom's job. So this cat is Australian, but living in Germany.
It's an international cat.
Look at this cat. It's so pretty. It looks like a Lynx Point. Siamese, kind of.
It's like a white grayish cat.
It's so
fluffy.
He's so cute. He has a big round face. I love the big round faces.
Oh, this is a beautiful cat.
He's really pretty. So happy birthday, Bren. I hope you... Oh, her name is Georgia. Sorry, the email said GT. So happy birthday, Bren.
Happy
the big
birthday.
5-0. I'm glad you're out there having the trip of your lifetime. That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
So whenever you hear this, just know we did it the day after your birthday. So we were close.
But you know what? She just, this is a big birthday milestone. You celebrate all week.
Yeah. You can actually even take the month. In my opinion,
50. That's a huge, awesome birthday.
Yeah. We would love to see more pics of Bubba, and if you ate any good food in South America, which I'm sure you will,
yeah,
then let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
You
ate.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Bye. Bye. Bye.
What is this?
Bye.
I'm ending
a phone call.
You leaving
Bye.
A voicemail?
Okay, that's it. Bye. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. That's rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. I'm a huge fan of cashmere, and that can be a very expensive habit. That's why I was so excited to find Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part?
All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am absolutely living in my black cashmere mini dress, and to be honest, I want to buy like three more because I can't imagine my life without them. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Hollywood for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Hollywood to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Hollywood.
Desi.
Yeah.
What did you watch this week?
I'm watching the same things. I mean, I'm watching Dexter. I'm watching Succession.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched. I've been very tired. I got my booster yesterday and fell asleep early. Like, so I haven't, I think I mentioned on the after show, I'm watching the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus that I really like and think is good, even if you don't like the Beatles. It's like a time capsule. The outfits are incredible. It also looks beautiful. Like, yeah, the look of it is so good. So I recommend that. Yeah, that's all I got. I actually need some more things to watch. There's several shows I'm almost like, should I rewatch that? Like, yeah. I almost did that with True Blood, but I figured I'll wait to see if you watch it for the first time.
Oh yeah, we should watch that together.
And then I'll watch that maybe. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know how you get through those periods where you've had a bunch to watch and then you're sort of in a dry spell because you don't know what to do next?
Right.
I'm in that period. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'll survive.
Here's the thing. All the shows that I'm watching are all on Sunday.
Yes.
Literally every single one. Succession, Dexter, Yellowjackets.
Yes. And they're also weekly.
They're weekly.
So I have nothing to do for a week.
I'm not done. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh, yeah. 90 Day Fiancé, and Real Housewives.
Yes.
That is seven shows that I'm currently watching, but they're all on Sunday. So by the time Tuesday rolls around, I'm done.
Yes, because you'll watch a lot of
them.
This
is sad. This just goes to show how much TV I watch. And
you watch way more than me, and I watch a lot.
Yeah.
Because you have way... Well, the thing is, you watch a lot of those 90 Day shows.
Right.
But I'm sort of still working my way through. And those are like, in my opinion, 4 hours each. They always seem really long to me.
They're very long shows.
They're very long, and then there's all the different varieties of them. There's a few versions that sometimes overlap.
Well, what's exciting is that we're gearing up for, because The Other Way is ending. It's now time for the tell-all is next week. But the new season of Before the 90 Days, which in my opinion, that's my favorite of the 90 Day franchises or spinoffs. That's gearing up next.
And is it any couples returning or is it all noobs?
It's all new people.
Okay.
So it's very exciting. So I love Before the 90 Days.
I like that too. Cause it's like,
it's a little more chaotic
because it's like, you're still in the early stages of their relationship and things could fall apart
and people don't really know each other.
Yes. Whereas 90 Day Fiancé, they've already pretty much made the decision to get married.
Yes.
I think I'm almost caught up on that. So I could probably watch the new season.
Yeah. Watch the new season on Discovery Plus. Cause that you don't have to have, I love, this is not an ad, but I love Discovery Plus because I can watch all the 90 Day Fiancé without the commercials and it cuts the episodes down to like an hour and a half.
Yes. Which is still very long.
Yes.
No, I have been using that as my treadmill show.
Yeah.
Cause then I can feel like, well, it's, you know, I'm not wasting time. Like,
no.
Like at least I'm doing something and I don't, it's like a show that I don't have to pay super attention to. Like,
right.
It's easy to watch.
Yeah.
I can fast forward the couples I don't like. There's always like one or two that I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Right.
To focus. Like that cuts. Well, because I'm trying to catch up. If I was in real time, I would obviously just watch it. But now I'm trying to power through them all.
Right.
I have, that's my ambitious goal. Gonna get through that.
Also next week is And Just Like That.
Oh.
So I feel like I have to watch that.
I mean, I'll probably check it out. But yeah, we've discussed this. I feel like there's no Samantha. I don't buy that she's in London.
No.
We all know what's happening here.
No, and I told Desi, I think I talked about it on the after show a couple weeks ago, that I recently rewatched all of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And that is a show that I watched every Sunday night when it in real time, like since I was 12 years old. Like, it came out when I was 12, and I've been watching it every single Sunday night until it ended.
Yeah.
So like, I was like a huge fan of that show at the time. I rewatched it. Obviously, it's very dated. There's still moments in it that I love. I still love Samantha.
Yeah.
She's clearly like the most open-minded person on the show. It really makes you realize, you're like, God, like, watching it hindsight, you're like, God, you guys are fucking prudes.
Yes.
Like, in so many aspects. Yeah. Or like some whatever. It was interesting to rewatch it though. So I am, you know, I do feel like I did watch both the movies. The second one, I think, is widely agreed that it's terrible.
Yeah.
Even by like super fans, like everyone hates the second movie. But I will check out the new show.
I'll check it out, and I'm curious what they're going to do to update it.
Yes.
Because they need to.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't do a great job with that second movie.
Ugh.
Because it definitely, it needs to take into account, in a way, what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
I'm curious. So, but I'll watch it. And, you know, of course, we'll watch it for the outfits and just to see what everyone's up to. But yes, that is another show that I will be watching. I believe it's, I don't know if that's a Sunday night show.
It seems
show.
Like it would be a Sunday night.
They're all Sunday night.
When did Sunday night become like,
didn't
the
it
night?
Used to be Thursday? Was must-see TV?
Yeah.
Now it's Sunday?
I mean, I guess Friday and Saturday, no one's dropping things. So maybe Sunday night was always sort of like, okay, school's tomorrow.
But you know, when everyone was watching network TV, it was like Thursday night NBC was like must-see TV night.
Yeah.
But now it's Sunday.
Which, yeah,
I think it's a prestige TV thing.
I think it's a prestige TV thing too. Because looking back, all of those shows were always on Sundays.
Yes.
So it just became that night.
It's so much TV.
It's a lot.
It's so much. So yeah, that's what I'm watching. What did you eat?
Well, we had a Hanukkah dinner.
Yes.
This week. That was very good.
It was a good dinner.
I was like, I'm sad. I wish I had more latkes.
Me too. I ate the rest of them yesterday.
Okay. I wasn't pushing for that. No, I'm just kidding. Just don't get excited because I already ate them all. No, I feel like I didn't have that many.
Because
I was eating so much cheese. By the time they came out, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I have room for a few.
Yeah.
And then we had the brisket that your brother made.
My brother made a great brisket.
It was so good.
It was delicious.
It's truly one of my favorite dishes. I love it. So that was nice. And yeah, I haven't eaten anything exciting other than that meal. I kind of was like, after Thanksgiving,
yeah,
I was sort of keeping it on the DL. My food eating.
Yeah.
And then I went high. I went low, you know, high key.
Yeah.
On Hanukkah.
Yeah.
That night. Was
right.
It Wednesday? And since then I've just been recovering.
Yeah.
Well, I had the shot yesterday.
Oh,
so
right.
That kind of kept me, you know, barely. I don't even remember what I ate after that. I don't think I had, oh, I had just some plain pasta for dinner, like nothing special. Just like something to eat. Like I needed something to eat, but I didn't really want to eat. I was tired and kind of out of it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll be back on today, hopefully.
Melon just hopped up here and he's going to walk across the computer. Oh my God, Melon, stop. I hope everyone heard that.
Squawk.
Squawk. Yeah, the latkes were good. The challah was really good. I ate some of that because we still have challah left over.
Oh, right. You should make some French toast.
Yeah, I'm going to do that this week. I have to do that this week.
You can't. That's what you do with
I can't waste all that challah.
No, you've got to make.
It's going to dry out very, very soon. And my mom gifted us with some like really artisanal maple syrup.
Ooh.
So I have to use it.
Damn.
I have to use it.
When are we
it.
Making it?
We should. I mean, we could make it together.
Yeah. That sounds so good.
Yeah.
I love French toast.
I do too.
I don't get you if you don't love French toast. I'm assuming you've never had good French toast. That's the only.
It's such a good breakfast.
Oh my God, especially with challah or like brioche, like an eggy bread.
Any
it's
kind
just
of
so good.
Eggy bread, that's like this, that's the gold standard.
Absolutely.
To make French toast with.
I used to only exclusively use challah. Like I didn't even know you could make it. I was like, no, you need challah.
I only as a kid growing up, that's what my mom, that's the bread my mom used to make it with.
Right. That's what I always thought it was, challah French toast.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even know there was, you didn't put challah French toast. I always said it that way.
Well, whenever you go to like a good brunch spot, they only use like a brioche or a challah.
Yeah. It's so good.
So
yeah, I mean, it's just the holidays. I'm like downloading cookie recipes.
For Christmas?
Yeah. I'm going to make those cookies this year. The ones, I don't know what they're called. They're Italian, the red, green, and they're almondy marzipan with the chocolate. Have you seen those layer cookies? They're bars. So you make very thin layers of Genoise that's like red, green,
yeah,
and possibly cream.
I haven't had one.
They're very almondy. So it's like an almondy layered cookie that has dark chocolate poured on top. And then you cut them into little squares. They're very traditional Italian Christmas cookies, but it's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, that's what I like doing at Christmas. I like baking a lot and just sitting down and fucking baking and being really doing very minute tasks that I would never do the rest of the year.
Yeah, me too.
Because I can give it to a lot of people, so I don't have to eat them all. But yeah, so I'm going to make those. And then I think I told you, very professionally decorated sugar cookies is my goal. So I'm collecting what I need to buy because I want to get all the proper tips.
Yeah.
I have trying to figure out which royal icing I want because I need one to outline.
Yeah.
Like a thicker one. And then you flood. I can't believe I'm going to flood the area.
You're going to flood the cookies.
Ugh,
that's
wait.
So professional.
It's very professional.
Yeah.
So I need my beveled spreading knives.
Right.
I need like all the proper tools. So maybe after I leave here, I might go to Joanne's and go to that Wilton aisle where they have all the cake and cookie decorating
stuff.
I want
to go with you.
You should come.
When are you going?
I don't know. I was going to go after the
I wish I could go. This is horrible. Okay, I lost my credit or debit card.
I could spot you.
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same as charging
it up. It's not the same. I mean, I went on a walk yesterday and I lost my new debit card that I just got because my old one expired. I was telling Desi last week, I got a new debit card, so I have to like go through all my accounts and see what's hooked up to the old one. And like, you know, you get like, I was like already stressed about that. And I did that. And then I went on a fucking walk yesterday and I was like going to stop at the store to get something. And like an idiot, I just had my card in my little short pockets and it fell out somewhere on the walk. So I had to cancel it.
I'm always afraid to complain about having to redo my credit card on all my accounts. Because I know someone's going to be like, there's a service that does that for you.
No, I know.
You idiot.
No, I know. And I...
like, I'm always like, I'd rather live with the hassle than have someone tell me the correct way to do something. Like, I'm like, I don't want to know that I've been doing it wrong all this
My whole life,
there's something very easy I could have done.
Dude, I thought about that too. Like, I thought, like, I'm like, I'm not going to tweet about this. Because I know someone's going to be like, you fucking moron. Yeah. You fucking idiot.
Have you ever heard of credit change?
Yeah.
It's been around for 20 years.
You're supposed to call your bank and tell them blah, 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 blah. No, please just let me live with this hassle and be very stressed out about it. So my new card isn't arriving for another 2 business days. And look, it's Friday, so it's not going to get here till Monday.
Dude, or business Tuesday. Days? Fuck
Come
that.
Come on, business days. What about people who work 7 days a week, okay?
Also, we're beyond business days now. This is not the 1950s. Every day is a business day. We don't have to keep... Banking doesn't rule what we do. They need to do what we want.
I agree.
It's bullshit.
The bank...
Fucking business days.
I'm just saying, this isn't a mom and pop sending me something and they can't do it over the weekend. This is my fucking bank.
Yeah.
Send me the card.
No, I'm sick of their shit.
I'm sick of it.
I am so sick of banks. They need to do what we want and stop charging us. They get money from us.
I know.
So they need to like respect us.
You tell them, Desi. You tell them.
Serious. So yeah. Well, then maybe I'll go another day.
Yeah, I really want
to
go shopping.
That's what I wanted to do. I was going to go to Target with you to get Christmas stuff.
Oh, don't go without me.
Well, we need to go because Target is getting slim pickings.
Okay, well, as soon as my new card arrives.
Okay, we'll go shopping next
week. We're going to go shopping.
Let's do some Christmas shopping next week. A few places. Okay,
we'll do that. That's what I need to do.
Okay.
All right, that's it. Bye. We'll see you all later. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.